Holy Spirit. We thank you for this time right now, Lord, that you're opening up hearts to perceive and opening up eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, because we know, Lord, that when that happens, Lord, that your seed, your word will not return void. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this hour, in this moment. And we just praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So my name is Michael. I'm the youth pastor here. And I just want to quickly talk about Pastor Miller and his wife, Pastor Deborah. So they are in Miwok Village, California. So it's a population of like 940. I Googled it. And so... So I texted him and I was like, hey, I'm praying y'all get the whole little town saved in one service. Let's go. Let's go. So, yes, I just want to thank Pastor Miller for the opportunity. I want to thank my beautiful wife. She's up in the balcony, Sarah Moore. I love you so much. She is beautiful. Thank you for your love, your prayers, your encouragement. And we're going to save the rest of the affirmations for later. Hallelujah. Yes, yeah, so yeah, man, let's dive into the word. So Sister Fowler, we're ready to go ahead. Everybody say laced in grace. So when Pastor Miller told me to preach about grace, I was hype, because I literally live this word. It is my I have two favorite numbers, 7 and 5. So the biblical number 5, or the number 5 is the biblical number meaning grace. Okay. And so I love this is because I always, I randomly look at the clock or, my phone or something like that, and it's 8:55 or it's 5:55 or 7:55. And that's just my little way. That's me and God's little way of saying, hey, his double grace, his double favor is with me. Amen. And so I love that Pastor Miller gave me this topic, grace, to talk about, because the Holy Spirit back in college showed me that grace means victory and favor. We're going to see biblically how that is very accurate. All right. So what I want you to do is, if you look up on the slide right now, we see shoes with laces, right? What do laces do? All right. Cool. There was some mumbling. So, you know. But, moral of the story, they kind of tighten things up so you can walk properly, right? So we're going to see how this word grace tightens our walk with Jesus, all right? We're going to see how we can be laced in grace. So next slide, if you would. I have a little acronym so we can understand grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Now I'm going to open the floor up to y'all again, and I'm going to ask you this. What are some riches that we've received at Christ's expense? Go ahead and yell them out to me. Healing, deliverance, keep going. Prosperity, I heard joy. Forgiveness, freedom. Holy Spirit, blessing. Wisdom, amen. Authority. Hallelujah, y'all getting excited? God's riches at Christ's expense. The ones that stuck out to me for sure. The ones that stuck out to me for sure was freedom from the bondage of sin. Yes. And because we are free from the bondage and the slavery of sin, we are also free from the curses that sin brings. This is a continuation of what Pastor Miller spoke on last Sunday, because we are also now free from the curse of sin, which is sickness and poverty. Amen? So we must believe this. Now, not only do we receive those riches, but let's get to the biggest rich. Let's get to the biggest riches, which is the Holy Spirit. Yes. So now we have eternal life, and we have eternal life with God, okay, heaven, right? So let's go to the next slide, and let's kind of dive into this word grace. So the biblical word for grace is that Greek lettering that you see up there on the screen. And it's the word charis or charis, depending on how you pronounce it. Everybody say charis or charis. Okay, so this is actually where we get our word charity or love. Okay, this is also where Apostle Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 12, and he was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, that word gifts is charismata, okay? So that's why those of us who believe in the gifts of the Spirit, healing, miracles, faith, right? These things, we are called charismatics. That's where this comes from. It comes from this word charis, okay? So let's look at some definitions here, and then we're going to dive into the word to look at all four. Now, the first definition is my favorite. Letter A, grace as a gift. Everybody say gift.
Yeah.
Or blessing. Say blessing.
Blessing.
Brought to man by Jesus Christ. That goes right with our acronym, right? Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, I really want you to key in on that word gift and that word blessing. It's going to come up a lot. Letter B is what? So the Holy Spirit was extremely accurate when he showed me in college that his grace is his favor, okay? And let's look at letter C, and this is where we're going to get happy in the service. All right, letter C is gratitude or thanks.
Amen.
Amen? And then lastly, letter D is a favor or
kindness.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive into it real quick. Now, once we go to the next slide here, what we're going to see is Galatians 3, and I'm going to pause at verse 2 because verse 2 has the most meat in it, and then we're going to, you know, go through the rest of the scripture. So it says, you foolish Galatians, verse 1, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Now let me pause there and say this. This is Apostle Paul. He's talking to the church in Galatia, and what happened is these Gentiles came to faith in Jesus Christ. So they believed in Jesus. They believed the word that he was God, that he died, that he rose, that he is king. And they believed in him. So we have this church that was born in Galatia. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So here's what verse 2 says. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or by believing what you heard? See, what happened is some religious Jewish Israelites infiltrated the church in Galatia and were trying to tell these Galatians who were believing in the power of Jesus, who were received the Holy Spirit, were trying to tell them, hey, listen. The way to really be saved, the way to really be one with God is to follow these 613 Jewish laws. Once you do the work, you know, then God will be pleased with you. Not grace, not his gift. You earn it. You earn it on your own. And so that's why Paul had to come back and remind them, what are y'all doing? Did you receive the Holy Spirit through following the 613 Jewish laws? Or did you receive by believing what you heard? Now, let me break this down. What did they hear? See, this is what they heard. This is amazing right here. So here's what they heard. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 17, which clearly says this. Faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Another translation says it like this. Faith comes by hearing the message about Christ. So they were hearing the message about Christ. Now, what I'm about to try to do is in 5 to 10 minutes, we're going to walk through the whole Bible and summarize it. Because the Bible tells me that faith in receiving the Holy Spirit comes through the message about Christ. So walk with me real quick and let's take a journey, because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let's start at the beginning so that y'all can really understand the picture of why in the world we're in here, why in the world we come to church, why in the world we sing these songs. I want you to understand this. So here it is, Genesis chapter 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image. Now here's what's interesting. John chapter 4 tells us that God is spirit. So what part of man did he create in Genesis 1:26? Man's spirit. And it's interesting what he did, because he said, let us make man in our image. What is us? Who else is there with God? It's the revelation that God is three in one. Right there, we already see that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit were all together in the beginning. And John chapter 1 proves that to us because it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you do your digging, you will find out that Jesus' eternal name in heaven before he became a man was the Word. So the Word is the Son is the Word. In him and by him, he created all things. So this is what's interesting, is when he created man in his image, here's what he said in verse 28. He said, now that I've programmed man's spirit, let me put in him something called the blessing. Everybody say the blessing.
The blessing.
The blessing was this. God blessed man and said, be fruitful, multiply, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it. And have dominion. Dominion meaning kingdom. Rule on this earth as I rule in heaven, is what God was saying. Well, how can they do that? Because they had his image. So now we see the fulfillment of this in Genesis 2:7. Let's walk it down. In Genesis 2:7, then God formed man from the dust of the earth. What was that? Man's body. And then God breathed into man. Everybody say breathe.
Breathe.
All right, that word in Hebrew is ruach. That word ruach is not just breath. It's wind and it's spirit. So what did God do? He created man's spirit, then he created man's body, and then he put his Holy Spirit in them. And that's when man became a living soul. That's when they became conscious. They begin to experience the five senses of being able to see and taste and smell and touch and feel. And they begin to have thoughts and emotions and desires. But here's the thing. It was a perfect state of being because there was no sin. They were in the image of God fully. And 1 Thessalonians 5 lets us know we are spirit, soul, body. Okay? So here's what happened. We already know what happened. Genesis chapter 3. Oh, here we go. Eve got deceived. Hey, right? Eve got deceived. We know what happened. She believed a lie. Did God really say, don't eat from that tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Did he really say that? Here's what was crazy, is all the devil was trying to do was get them to doubt God's grace and goodness. That's it. That's all he was trying to do. Like, did God really say that? Did he really make that rule to hold you back? He's still doing the same thing today, the exact same thing today. Did God really say, wait until marriage before you have sex? Did God really say stop sleeping with your boyfriend and girlfriend? Did God really, really say that? Did God really say go to church? You can't just do your own thing and be spiritual and not religious. Did God really say stop messing with zodiac signs? It's the same question. He's trying to get you to think that God's rules and boundaries are holding you back. But the truth is God's grace is protecting you from something. So here's what happens. Obviously, they sin. But notice what happens when they sin. They realize their shame. They realize they were naked. They realized that the spirit that was breathed into them had now left. And now this is where death entered. What is death? Spiritual separation from God. So they were still walking, body and soul still alive, but spirit dead. Departed from God. And then curses entered. Some of the curses are very interesting to me because we can begin to find these in our own lives if we're in sin. Or if we're in the flesh, sinful nature. What are some of the curses? Painful childbearing for ladies. What's another curse? Another curse was, is that the woman would try to rule and control the man, and then that the man would rule over her abusively. The beginning of relational conflict and disharmony. So here's where God's grace is. Even in Genesis, if you read closely in Genesis, you will see that God did something to cover them. An innocent animal had to be killed. And then he took the skin of that animal and put it over Adam and Eve. I want y'all to remember that as we go through this story. As we go real quick through the word, as quick as we can. An innocent animal had to die to cover sin. Remember that point. So now what happens is, Adam and Eve, let's go all the way down the line, and we got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then from Jacob, the children of Israel, which became the nation of Israel. And then we got Moses, right? And through Moses came the law. 613 Jewish laws that, watch this, God never even gave them that law for them to follow. Watch this. Romans chapter 3 tells me that God gave the law to make humanity conscious of how sinful they were. And how the only way they could follow God and be made right with God again is through a Savior, through a Messiah. This is going to be key, because then what happens is, because I used to always have this question, how do Old Testament people get saved? Y'all ever heard that question? How do Old Testament people get saved? The Bible is going to tell us, but basically and simply, it was through faith in a Messiah to come. Because Abraham, when God told him, through you, all nations will be blessed, the Bible gives us prophetic revelation that Abraham knew that God was saying, through you is going to come a Messiah that's going to save the sins of the whole world. If you read even closer in the New Testament, Apostle Paul breaks this down with King David. When he said King David knew that there was going to be a Messiah that would live, die, and resurrect. So King David, even in the Old Testament, had prophetic revelation that there would be a Messiah, a king, through his physical lineage that would come and save the people from their sin. So even back then, they had faith in a Messiah, in the Messiah to come. And so we even see that many Jewish people believe this through the prophet Isaiah. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 53. Because they understood that Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah was saying, there would be a man, a man of sorrows, a man who was humble in appearance, who would be pierced for their transgressions, crushed for their sins. The punishment that will be upon him will bring them peace, and by his stripes, they would be healed. So even the Old Testament Jewish people knew that all the law did was reveal how sinful we are and that we can only be saved through a Messiah. So this sets the stage for a man named John the Baptist who came on the scene and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh my goodness. But then he said this, but there's one coming after me. I'm preparing the way for him. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Rebeondia. Hallelujah. And so here then, after John comes Jesus, the Christ, born of a virgin. The virgin was empowered and impregnated through the power of the Holy Spirit. And an angel came to Mary and said, hey, this child is going to be, name him Jesus. Or Hebrew, Yeshua. Meaning the one who saves. And so, man, I love the faith that's in the room right now. You see what happens when we hear the message of the gospel? Yes. Faith increases in the room because we realize that Jesus Christ always was, always is, and always will be. So here's what happened. Jesus then gets baptized by John, and then He's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's led to be tempted in the wilderness. And here's what's interesting. After that moment, he began to do things only God could do. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. He began to say to people that, I forgive you of your sins. You do understand that that's why the Jewish people, specifically the teachers of the law, wanted him killed. Because they thought the law of Moses says a blasphemer must be killed. They thought that Jesus was just a man or just a prophet. So they thought him claiming to be God was blasphemous. But here's the interesting thing. The Bible teaches us is that he was tempted in every way, just like you and I, but he did not sin. Remember what I said earlier. The only way to receive forgiveness of sins is that an innocent animal had to be sacrificed. And the blood of that innocent animal covered the sins. That's what they would do in the Old Testament law. They would sacrifice lambs and goats and cows, and they would have to continuously do this. When Jesus came, that's why the Bible says he was the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. After that happened, there was no need to sacrifice animals anymore. You want to know why? Here's why. It's because I want you to imagine this. Jesus crucified. Can you imagine? Can you imagine thorns being jammed into your skull? Can you imagine that Roman technology? You know, back then it was the nation of Israel. Jesus was a Jew, and the Roman government occupied or controlled, the Israelite land. And so Rome had created this technology, this whip, that when it whipped into you, When it came out of your flesh, it ripped off flesh. So Jesus was unrecognizable getting crucified. And then I want you to imagine nails being driven in your wrists, in your ankles, deadening your entire nervous system. And then I want you to imagine, after all that, flesh being ripped, being hung on a rugged pole, a rugged tree, a rugged cross, and every time you breathe, your open flesh is just scraping against the tree. And here's how we know that there's no more need. There's no more need for animal sacrifice. There's no more need for the Jewish law, the 613 laws. Here's why. It's because Jesus said two things while he was on that cross. One was, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What did that mean? That clearly means this, is that when Jesus was hanging on that cross, in the realm of the spirit realm, the unseen world, all the sins of humanity were being pressed onto Jesus. And for just a moment, he had to be separated from God, the Father. Understand, he was God, but he was God the Son. Remember, the Bible tells us, to us a son is given, but a child is born. So God was always the Son, but when he entered flesh and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth, he became God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This is so crazy, because that's one thing he said. And he was separated. He was separated. He experienced that death, that spiritual separation, to take on those sins. Here's then what we find out. His last words on that cross were tetelestai. Everybody say tetelestai. It is the Greek meaning that means paid in full. It is finished. It is finished. That means all of the sins of humanity that would bring humanity into a place of eternal separation from God in hell, in a place of torment. In that moment, Jesus knew his righteous blood had satisfied God's wrath. And that now, through Jesus, we can now have a way to be made right with God again, because our sin has been forgiven by his blood. Here's where it gets even better. He goes, all right, so now this is what is awesome. The Bible teaches us that Jesus laid down his life. That nobody took his life, that he laid down his life. So if he's God enough to lay down his life, he's God enough to pick back up his life. So what happened is that when Jesus gave up his spirit, he gave up his spirit. He had the authority to die. So his spirit left his body, and his spirit went into the place of paradise. How do we know? Because the thief on the cross, he told him, today you will be with me in paradise, in the place of heaven. So what happens? Jesus' spirit goes into paradise. His body, though, is left on the cross. And an amazing sign happened for all them Jewish people to know that Jesus was God. And that was that the temple had a veil that would separate the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where you could access the throne room of God in the mercy seat. And so that veil was torn. Are you kidding me? That would have been supernatural in that time. The veil was completely torn. So now they know, oh snap, we killed the Messiah. So now they know, I don't know what that was. So now they know, oh goodness, we done killed the Messiah. Pull it away. I'm getting too happy. It was the beard. All right, are we better? All right, it might slide down again because I'm feeling some sweat on my left cheek, but it's all good. We're going to keep rolling. Okay, so this is amazing because now Jesus, on the third day, re-enters his body. Now he has risen from the dead. Now the angel came and removed the tomb that, by the way, was guarded by Roman guards. And he appeared for 40 days to his disciples and to over 500 followers. I want you to pay attention to his last message on earth. If you get this, this will change everything. His last message in John, in Mark, in Luke, in Matthew, and in Acts chapter 1, he was talking about the Holy Ghost. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said it's the Holy Spirit who will convict you of sin. Yes, the reason you turn up and do your own thing is because you don't feel conviction. And you will continue not to. Only the Holy Spirit can bring conviction. Yes. Only the Holy Spirit is the one that can wake you up and realize, oh my goodness, I'm separated from God. Yes. I'm a sinful, wicked human being without him. And there's a judgment for that. The Bible says the Holy Spirit also lets you know about judgment. And then it also lets you know about righteousness. You start to realize, I can only be righteous through the blood of Christ. And so this is beautiful because what happens now, what happens is Jesus in the, everybody say synoptic. It's the word that means the same. So basically in Matthew 28, Luke 21, John 20, Acts chapter 1, he's having the same conversation, just different people are recording what they're hearing him say. So right before he ascended into heaven at the right hand of God, he was talking about the Holy Spirit, and he was saying what the Holy Spirit does. He's your comforter. He's your counselor. He's your advantage. Then he says, do not go and preach about me until you wait in Jerusalem. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Wait a minute, though. Power to do what exactly? He broke it down. If you go and read it yourself, he broke it down. The power to preach the gospel to every creature. The power to disciple all nations. The power to baptize them and teach them. Hallelujah, and to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and to cast out devils, and that nothing of the satanic kingdom will harm you. He broke down the power package, and that you will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason you saw me do that with a little attitude is because, you know, we believe in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said it. Ain't no cessationism going on around here. The gifts ain't ceased, baby. God is still moving. God is still active. You still get the Holy Ghost with power and fire and tongues. That's what it is. That's what it is. I feel faith in the room because it's the message about Christ. So now what happens is Jesus goes up, and now these believers are praying and waiting on this power that Jesus was talking about. Then we see the fulfillment of it in Acts chapter 2, because they were celebrating the day of Pentecost. This was a huge celebration in Israel where people from all over would come and celebrate. So, of course, there were Jews that lived in Israel, but there were also Jews from surrounding nations that would come and celebrate as well. So now here goes these believers who just saw Jesus ascend. They're fasting, praying, praising God in one upper room, and then there's a mighty rushing wind. Y'all remember wind means spirit. This is the Holy Ghost. And fire separated and descended upon them, and they begin to speak in tongues as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave them the abilities or the utterances or languages to speak with new tongues. So now what we see is these people getting filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and some people, some Jews, outsiders seeing this, are hearing tongues in their own language. And they're like, what is this? And then you had some who didn't, I guess all they heard was the disciples actually babbling, and they said, these men are drunk. And then Peter said, no, these aren't drunk as you suppose. This is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. That God will pour his spirit out upon all flesh. And then guess what Peter began to do? He began to preach the gospel about Christ. Because they were pricked to their heart. Oh my goodness, this God we crucified, he's God the Son? He's Messiah? He's our Savior from our sins? Peter, what must we do to be saved? Here's the message to everyone. Repent. Turn away from wickedness. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission or forgiveness of sin. And lastly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for all of your family and children and all who are far off. Amen. Wait a minute. Are you telling me Jesus dying and his blood forgiving us of our sins was so that we could get back to the place in Genesis 1:28? Yes. Where we can now have dominion on the earth? No more sin, no more curses, no more sickness, no more poverty. You gotta believe that. Because the church in Galatia was starting to not believe that. They started believing religion that says, oh, you can only earn God's approval and favor by following the law, by doing these laws yourself. Oh, but doesn't the devil and the religious spirits do the same thing today? I hear so many people say, you just gotta try. Just try to be good. I try to be a good person. I'm just trying. Start trusting. Stop trying. Because the whole point of the law was to prove to you that the more you try, the more you will continue to fail and be sinful. You cannot do anything to earn God's approval and God's grace. You only receive it as a gift. And then you begin to walk in the place of the blessing. Hallelujah. I told y'all verse 2 was going to be the longest point that I was on. So let's continue. Now you're really going to see through the scripture what I mean. So verse 3, are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? You're trying on your own. Verse 4, have you experienced so much in vain if it was really in vain? Watch this, verse 5. So again I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Miracles break out. God moves when we believe that message that we just went through. that God came as a man, and now we receive the forgiveness of sins. We turn away from sin, and we turn to Christ and say, I can only be made right with God by your blood. And we repent in that way, in a real way, and come to him in a real way. He is so gracious that he graces us with his Holy Spirit. And now we regain that dominion and that kingdom in Genesis 1:28. How do I know that? It's because now we can be fruitful, because Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So now we have the fruits of the Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We walk in the power of the Spirit. So why would we give that up? Just for somebody to tell you, you praising too much, you talking in tongues too much, you doing too much. It don't take all that praying. It don't take all of that. You know, we're gonna be healed in heaven. So we just gotta sing old hymns and just get by on the by and by, and just be sick and be poor until Jesus Christ comes back. The devil's a liar. That's a lie. That's a whole lie. That's a whole lie. And that's the point that Paul was trying to get the Galatians to understand. That's a whole lie. Don't believe that.
That's right.
So here we go. Verse 6. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Right.
Verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Verse 8. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, not by works. You can't be a good person and think you're still gonna go to heaven. Listen, you just gotta trust Jesus.
Right.
Surrender your life to him. He's the one that makes you righteous.
Yes.
It's just faith. And announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. There you go. Let's continue to verse 9. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a what?
Curse.
So you keep trying and trying and trying, you're under a curse.
Amen.
Keep trying to be a good person, you're under a curse.
Amen.
You can't earn, there's nothing you can do to earn it.
Right.
You just must receive this as a gift. So here we go. All right, so verse 10, and I already read it, but I'm reading it again. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. We know we can't do everything written in the book of the law. That's why Jesus had to. Verse 11, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God. Everybody say justified.
Justified.
Because the righteous will live by
faith.
So justification, this is actually Paul referencing what he would later on say, I think in the book of Romans or Corinthians, when he said that God predestines those he calls. And then those he called, he justified. That's salvation, blood of Jesus. Those he justified, he will glorify. That's the Holy Spirit. Y'all see that? So this is what he's breaking down here, is that really, this is what it means, is that all of us were born in sin. We're deserving of death because sin is death. But blood is life. The reason we're all living right now is because of blood in our bodies. So the blood of Christ was the eternal life that we needed. So then what happens? So what happens is when we believe in Christ through faith, God looks at us and says, oh, he believed just like Abraham believed. He didn't try to get to me on his own good works. He just obeyed what I said. That's faith.
Yes.
We are the righteousness of Christ. Why? Because we obey the Holy Spirit. You want to define faith? Obey the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What's the Holy Spirit telling you to do or say, or telling you not to do and not to say? It's all by faith. And we know that faith says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we will be saved.
Yes.
There you go. You turn away from your sin. And that part of faith where you open up your mouth and say Jesus is Lord, that is what God sees as faith and goes, oh my goodness, they believe in my son, saved, justified, righteous. Not because of nothing you did, but because of everything God the Son did. Watch this. Verse 12, the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. So verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He, verse 14, redeemed us in order that the Genesis 1:28. He redeemed us in order that the blessing. We good? Can y'all hear me?
No.
Do I need the mic? I hear it kind of right here. I wonder if my sweat short circuited it.
Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
Here we go. Everybody say the blessing.
Blessing.
There we go. You do not have to suffer in sin any longer. You do not have to continue to suffer curses any longer. You do not have to continue to suffer in sickness and in poverty. You can live in the blessing. You can be made right with God through the blood of Jesus, and you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be laced in grace. Walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. I'm going to do that dance on the way home. Hey. That the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the what?
Spirit.
Y'all see, the Apostle Paul is just literally breaking down this concept over and over. It's the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Literally. All right, let's go to the next. Let's go to the next. This is where I speed it up. Here we go. So everybody say favor.
Favor.
Now let's see what we can access through the Holy Spirit. Here it is, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Yes.
Does that say the Spirit?
Yes.
Is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor.
Yes.
All right, so that's one. That's one favor that we have. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's a second favor. Oh, so you telling me you've never been brokenhearted before? Listen, that's Jesus saying through the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be in bondage anymore to your trauma. You don't have to be bound to the rejection of parents not being there. You do not have to be bound to the abuse that you experience or the molestation that you experience. You do not have to be bound by being picked on as a little kid. You don't have to be bound to anything anymore. You don't have to be brokenhearted. You don't have to stay in that place anymore. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Uh-oh, here we go. The anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks us free from our addictions. No longer do we have to remain a prisoner. Addictions can go in Jesus' name. And I already know the Holy Spirit showed me somebody walked in here with a spirit of suicide. I'm going to go ahead and tell it to leave in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off of them. They are a child of the Most High. They've been bought by His blood, and they will receive the Holy Ghost today. They will live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. Verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's
favor.
There it is. That's grace. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. There you go. Comfort. The Holy Spirit comforts. And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. My God. The oil of joy instead of mourning. My God. And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Another translation says heaviness. You ever walked around someone and it's heavy? It's a spirit of heaviness. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be laced in grace so we don't have to be in a spirit of heaviness anymore. We can be in a garment of praise, just being in gratitude and thanks to God all day long. Oh, that sets us up so perfectly for the next slide, because let's talk about thanks and gratitude. So next slide. Do y'all remember the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt from slavery? Here's where it gets cool, is when they came out of Egypt and they were going through the wilderness, they were traveling to the promised land, right? To the land of Canaan, which will become Israel. Y'all follow? Well, here's what happened. The Amalekites were a group of people or a nation that was heavily opposed to Israel taking over the land of Canaan. So they would come and attack them. In the same way, the devil is trying to get you to go back to your old life before Christ. And attacks you. So watch this. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Verse 10. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur, here we go, went to the top of the hill. Oh, here we go. Verse 11. Let's read it together. As long as Moses held his hands, the Israelites were winning. Everybody lift those hands to the Lord. What happens when you're lifting your hands up to the Lord is you are telling him, I am no longer in control. I received the gift and the blessing brought to me by Jesus Christ. And now in the realm of the spirit, God is in control now, not you. It's the grace. It's his favor. It's his victory. You got to remain in that place of praise. But, everybody say, but. Whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. If the devil can steal your praise, he has won. He will be winning in those moments. Verse 12, watch this. We can relate to Moses here. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put him under. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Ur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Y'all want to know the revelation to this? The revelation to this is you will get tired sometimes. But it's in those moments that you don't believe the lie of the devil to just suffer in silence. That's when you can call a believer in the local church. That's when you can get around people who will say, just like Aaron and Ur, Moses, keep them hands up. You can get encouragement from people in the church of Christ who can say, hey, don't stop praying. Don't stop fasting. Don't stop reading your word. Don't stop praising. Don't stop worshiping. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes. So let's go to the last definition, favor and kindness. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
And kindness. Here it is, verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Here we go, leveled the playing field. That's all of us. Verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Everybody say ways.
Ways.
Of this world.
Of this world.
All right, so that's the Greek meaning of systems. Systems. There's a educational system that's trying to indoctrinate our children. There is a religious system that's trying to get us to be religious and not Holy Spirit filled. There is a sports or entertainment system that is trying to indoctrinate our young and our old with demonic ideologies. We have systems of the world. We even have family systems that are set up to break up the family. Ways of the world. Immediately in default to these because we used to be in this when we walked in transgression and sin. And watch this. Who runs that? And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, the evil spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So let me break it down to you like this. Why does God give us boundaries? Why does God say trust in the Holy Spirit and give your sin to him and trust in the blood of Jesus? It's because he's protecting you from this devil who is trying to take you into hell with him and his demons because he knows his time is short. And he can take you there if you keep walking in your own ways in disobedience. That's it. So verse 3, all of us who lived among them at one time, here it is, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. That word flesh is a Greek meaning of like sinful state or sinful nature. Okay? So here's what the Bible says, is that sin is fun for a time. Yeah. it's fun for a season, okay? But after all that turning up, you start to feel the sin curses, the effects of that sin, real quick. And it will gratify you for a time, but it will not satisfy you. Because Holy Spirit is the only one that can do that. So like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Well, here you go. God's wrath is being poured out on disobedience. But, verse 4, everybody say, but. Because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in
mercy,
made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. I want you to understand something. Mercy is different from grace. Mercy is what saves you from. Grace is what empowers you to. Mercy saves us from hell and eternal separation with God, but grace empowers us to believe in the gospel of Jesus and be refilled with the Holy Spirit and being able to walk and be laced in grace, walking in the Spirit, so we don't gratify the desires of our flesh. Oh, my goodness. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, next slide. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. Expressed in his what?
Grace.
To us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for it is by what?
Grace.
That you have been what?
Grace.
Through what?
Grace.
And this is not from who?
Yourself.
It is the
gift
of God. When you realize that your struggle will end when you release your struggle to him. His grace will do the rest. It's so dope because I've gotten to the point now to where I know that without his grace, I am a sinful human being. Perverse and wicked in every way, in my thoughts, in my desires, in my emotions. And that's beautiful because when we realize that and we come to Jesus and say, hold on, but I'm going to express my faith that Jesus, your blood washes me. And that Holy Spirit, you empower me to live like Jesus taught. And you actually begin to do it. This is amazing. Verse 10, for we are God's what? Workmanship or handiwork. Y'all, this is the Greek word poema. It means poem. God is a writer. He has already written our stories after we come to him. Before we come to him, though, you write in your own story. You on your own, boss. But he's written a beautiful story when you come to him. Handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Which God prepared for us to do in advance. Which means when you come to the Holy Spirit, you don't have to try to pray for somebody and they be healed. It's a good work already set in motion. And then the Holy Spirit will nudge you to pray for somebody. And it's a good work already set in motion and ordained to happen. And then you'll see the miracle. Because you walk in, you're laced in grace, you're walking in the Spirit. This is how this works. Faith is simply obeying the Holy Spirit. Listen, whenever you open up your word, that's obedience to the Holy Spirit. Whenever you pray for yourself or someone, that's obedience. Whenever you begin to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, that's obedience to the Spirit. Whenever you're praying for a coworker or someone in your family, that's obedience to the Spirit. Whenever you come to church and fellowship and don't just isolate yourself, that's obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's not by your works. It's obeying the good work he already prepared in advance for us to do. So everybody say, let's wrap it up. So let's go to the slide right here. I want everybody to find your grace space, to find your grace spaces. Now, when I begin to talk about these, huge disclaimer here, do not listen to what I'm saying and then think this is what I need to go do. This is not the point of this. The point of this is for you to get excited that you can go home and in personal relationship with Jesus, ask him and his Holy Spirit, what's your grace for me in these areas of my life? That's the whole point of this. So there are certain grace spaces that you'll find in the Holy Spirit where he'll lace you in grace, such as the word. I have some friends who can read 5 chapters in a day. That ain't me. That is not me. I'm 1 chapter and I'm good. Hallelujah. And that's, it's amazing. I'm able to retain it and meditate on it a lot better and chew on it more. That's just me, though. That might not be you. You develop that with the Holy Spirit. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. So another thing is that Holy Spirit will convict me sometimes, usually monthly, to go a little bit deeper. So one chapter a day, that's not enough grace. Go longer. Dive more into the scripture. Dive more into the meaning of this and in the context of this, right? So another thing, everybody say prayer. So prayer, I pray throughout the day, you know, so I pray for my food. I pray for my daughter, Kavana, when we put her to bed. You know, I pray when I'm at work and stuff like that. Jesus, be with me today. You know, this is the day that you have made and stuff like that. There's grace for that. But then there are also times where I sense the Holy Spirit saying, you need to do what Jesus did in Mark 1 and wake up before sunset and go into isolated places alone and pray. Serious appointments with God. And you got to understand the grace for that and when that is, okay? And so another thing, and I will tell you right now, this is something I am still working with the Holy Spirit to fully obey him in, is fasting. He didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast, okay? So, but yeah, I will definitely, it's usually quarterly, like every third month or so, I'll just keep seeing sermon after sermon on fasting. Or it just keep coming up in the word when I'm reading the words, fast, fast. And I'm just trying to run fast away from that command real quick. You know what I'm saying? All right, so let's find the grace space as well for family. Everybody say family. Now, I'm married to a beautiful, beautiful wife, and we have a beautiful daughter. So what I found is that there is so much grace in the Holy Spirit telling us to go to marriage counseling. We do it sometimes once a month, sometimes twice a month. That's our grace. That's our grace for us. For you and your marriage, it might be every day. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? We got the curse is hitting you real hard. I'm just saying. There's also grace in date nights. Hallelujah. Where the kid or our daughter's not there, it's just us. And we have grace for that. And it's not a lot, maybe two times a month. Sometimes it's one time a month, but just that time for us to be able to have quality time with one another, okay? And then also what I found, too, is that someone that's wired like me, who I dealt with rejection, so the way that I've overcompensated with that is through being a workaholic sometimes, is that the Holy Spirit gives me the grace to say, hey, shut it down when you get home, spend quality time with your daughter. So that she knows daddy is not just there physically, he's there mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And I know that because of obeying the Holy Spirit in that, his grace is going to allow Kavana to see Heavenly Father the same way she sees Earthly Father. Amen? So there's grace space as well in work. Now, this is why I wanted to hit work. It's because this seems to be where we begin to shut off our hats. We begin to tuck in our Christian hats and just do our own thing at work, at the job, or if you own a business or something like that. Here's the thing the Holy Spirit got me on. I'm in transportation and logistics, so I move product, okay? Truckers moving product from point A to point B. One thing the Holy Spirit convicted me of, now remember, notice I'm saying Holy Spirit convict me of, because in my flesh, my sinful nature, I want to do it and make money. But Holy Spirit said, you are not going to move liquor. You are not going to be moving tobacco, nor wine, nor will you be moving pharmaceuticals. Well, pharmaceuticals is different than medicine. The Bible talks about medicine, but the Bible also talks about pharmaceuticals, which is the Greek word pharmakeia, which is the English word witchcraft. So I'm not moving that. I'm trying to deliver people from that in Jesus' name. I'm not moving that product at all. So I just put up as a bullet point here, no compromise. The Holy Spirit will give you the grace to not compromise at work, okay? Also, and I already kind of explained this, whenever I need to get extra work done, whether that's ministry, job, or side business or something like that, I'm hitting that early in the morning. Why? Because there's grace on that because my daughter and my wife sleep. So that's when I can hit it. But listen, when it's time for me to come home from the job, my focus is on them. That's the grace that the Holy Spirit showed me there. And then another thing is, everybody say gym. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm about to hit this little spirit of Oreo and honey bun real quick. No, it ain't that deep. It ain't that deep. I ain't gonna go in. I'm not gonna go in like that. But the point is that I really, really ignored the Holy Spirit for a while last year, telling me to get back into the gym. I mean, like, for a while. And it's just as simple as the faith to obey him to do it. And now that I've done it, I still don't do it a lot. The grace for me right now, and of course grace grows, but for right now, I'm like 2 or 3 times a week, 10 to 15 minutes, nothing crazy. Now, some people, some guys I know, their grace is not that. They be in there for 2 hours. Straight Hulk, they look like Hulk in the gym. That's not my grace right now. But just a little bit, though, because the Bible does teach us that physical training or physical discipline or fitness is of some benefit. You find that when Paul is talking to Timothy, he says spiritual discipline, train yourself in godliness. That's the most important. But he said that, you know, physical fitness is of some benefit. Okay? Lastly, fun. Everybody say fun.
Fun.
So, because I love YouTube, I got to put limits on it. That's grace. That's the Holy Spirit. Phone as well. You know, the Holy Spirit saved me from being addicted to pornography since I was a very, very young boy. Okay? So, my grace space is not taking my phone into anywhere private, especially the bathroom. I'm not doing that. The Holy Spirit showed me not to do that. It creates triggers, and then I go back into those thoughts and memories. So it's no. And when you follow Jesus, here's the point. I'm not doing that out of my own will, because then it'll be good works on my part, and Jesus or the Bible teaches me that my works is as filthy rags, which is the Hebrew meaning. That's the rags they used to wipe their behinds with after pooping. So that's how God sees us trying to be good and earn him is that's boo-boo. God don't want none of that. He wants you to trust and obey his son. Boy, if y'all don't remember nothing else, remember that's boo-boo. All right. So no social media. As I told y'all before, you know, with Jesus delivering me, you know, from abandonment and rejection due to fatherlessness and stuff like that. I used to find a lot of affirmation in posting something and getting a whole bunch of likes. But then I would also not feel valued when I posted something and it didn't get a lot of likes. So Jesus said, listen, if your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. If your eye is causing you to sin, gouge it out. It was his hyperbole of saying, if it's causing you to sin, cut it out of your life. So that's my grace space from the Holy Spirit, is to cut off social media. My wife, extremely different. She can be on it, and she's good. But when I get on it, it's Sin City. Cutting it off. Cutting it off. All right, and then lastly, of course, God gives us gifts and talents. Everybody say gifts.
Yes.
Talents. He doesn't want us to sit on those gifts and be the lazy, wicked servant. He wants us to multiply those gifts and talents. So obviously, I love playing the drums to the glory of God, and I love doing music to the glory of God, okay? Now, there's grace spaces on that, and like I said, if I want to get those done, it's usually either here at church or before I wake up, because I'm also a believer and a husband and a father before I'm any of that, amen? So here we go. Everybody say testimony.
Testimony.
All right, here's where I used to teach English, so we kind of started up here. That was the climax. Now we're going to the falling action. All right? We're coming to the end. Y'all ready? Here we go. So go to the next slide, which is almost the last. Everybody say real life.
Real life.
That's the name of the church. Example. So I was on the battlefield just like you were, whether you were at work or home or wherever. And several weeks ago, specifically 2 weeks ago, I had this day where kind of thing after thing happened. Y'all ever been there? And so I put some examples up here, but I had a few customers pay late. I had 2 canceled shipments. I got behind on some coursework. Sales metrics really weren't as high as the previous 2 weeks. I broke my streak of waking up early. I felt kind of down. I did. But here's the importance of grace space. Those 2 days before, I had read the word, Matthew 5 and Matthew 6, on the way to work. So I heard the small, still voice of Holy Spirit say, start quoting Matthew 5 and 6. And so I begin to say, you know what? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And then I begin to go to Matthew 6. Who by worrying can add a single hour to their life? You can't serve both God and money, but both God and mammon. You will love one and hate the other. You will despise one and serve the other. And I begin to say, Matthew 6:33 says, seek God. Amen. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things that my flesh is trying to be worried about will be added unto me. And so what happened is I found an extreme grace to not go into the pit, right? But I found an extreme grace to continue. Now, here's the importance. That week, my sales metrics still weren't where I wanted them to be. But everybody say next week. That next week, what happened is that I had a conversation with two coworkers that almost depressed me. They talked about how much taxes get taken out of commission. Oh, boy. I was like, oh, my goodness. This is crazy. I'm going to be honest. It stung. I felt like all this work for almost nothing. I really felt like that. But I heard the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit again say, go walk and take a praise break. Well, this is not foreign. Your coworkers take smoke breaks. Holy Spirit said, go take a praise break. So I went and I walked and I started saying, you know what, God, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, I release our finances to you and to your kingdom and your jurisdiction. I begin to say, you told me in your word that if I cast all my anxieties on you, that you care for me and that you will give me perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. And then what happened is I begin to pray in the spirit. I begin to speak in tongues in a tongue I ain't even heard myself ever pray. There was a different grace on that moment because I had faith. I obeyed the Holy Spirit. And I accessed his grace. Here's why. It's because that next day, everybody say next day, I come into work, and I kid you not, the Lord in about a few hours quadrupled my numbers in a matter of a few hours. And I knew it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't. Now I'm able to testify to you that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So we're going to end with this last slide and this point. I want us to dive at the very last point here. If we go to the next slide, this is the last slide here. Grace, even when it feels like defeat. Do y'all remember Hannah in the Old Testament? She wanted a baby, but the Lord had closed the womb. Listen, 1 Samuel 1. There was a certain man whose name was Elkanah, who had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, or Penina, however you want to pronounce it. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Verse 4, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Hannah, to his wife Peninnah. But to Hannah, he gave a what? She had favor. Even though her circumstance didn't look like it, she still had a double portion. Because he loved her, and the Lord closed her womb. Verse 6, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival... Everybody say rival. And then say enemy. Kept provoking her in order to irritate her. All right, I'm going to give y'all prophetic revelation in a minute. Verse 7, this went on year after year. When Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Verse 8, Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Here's the prophetic revelation. Here it is. The Bible tells us in James 1 that God does not tempt, but it does say that we should rejoice when we go through trials because it's producing in us character and a character that produces perseverance. So God does not tempt us, but he will allow the enemy to tempt us In the same way that Penina was irritating Hannah. Spirits of irritation permitted by God to come into your life to irritate you, but why? It's to bring you to the end of yourself. Because at the end of yourself is where grace begins. Let's go to the next slide and see how Hannah actually came to the end of herself. There was a certain man whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives, verse 10. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Y'all see that? She had deep anguish. What did it drive her to do? Pray. The one thing we run away from. But it's the one place where his grace is. So, verse 11, she made a vow to the Lord, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. Verse 17, Eli the priest answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Verse 18, she said, may your servant find what? In your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer. When you really experience the power of the Holy Spirit, you may still feel sad, but you will know that you have unexplainable joy, peace, and love. And you will no longer be in a place of depression because of his grace. She was not downcast. She had gotten to a place of grace because, remember, a definition of that means gratitude and thanks. The Lord literally permitted spirits of irritation in the physical form of Penina to drive Hannah to the feet of Jesus. Verse 19. Early the next morning. Boy, that sounds like my testimony. That sounds just like my testimony. Early the next morning, Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, Hebrew for heard by God, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Amen. Here's the last thing that I submit to you, that grace is not just a state of being. It's not just a blessing. Grace is a person. Because what I did not even explain to you was that the name Hannah in Hebrew means grace. So before the creation of the world, Jesus had us in mind to know him and to be filled with his spirit. Grace is a person. Grace is the Holy Spirit. Now, as we stand and the ushers come to the altar, most people never hear the gospel message. Now that you understand who Jesus is, now that we walk through the entire scripture, you understand the importance that all of this is about the Holy Spirit. All of it is about the Holy Spirit. And now I want you to imagine, because this is how the Lord gave it to me before I preached today. He said, son, there are going to be people who come in here bound, to the hurts of their past and bound to the addictions of their present. I want you to imagine walking out of these doors in a state of grace, in a state of the Holy Ghost. You know what? I'm gonna say it like this. God does not want you continually coming down to the altar time after time, dealing with the same sin, the same cycle, the same curse. It's time to trust and stop trying. Whatever you have to cut off, I'm going to go ahead and hit this now because I see some of you, and Jesus said that if you forgive others, then the Father in heaven will forgive you of your sin. But if you don't forgive others, the Father in heaven will not forgive you of your sin. So some of you are still locked in that place is because of unforgiveness. If that is you, hear faith right now in the atmosphere and run to this altar. Because there is a time of salvation, and Jesus said, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart when you hear the message. Do not harden your heart in the day of salvation. He's knocking at the door. I want you to imagine walking out of these doors and not being bound anymore to sexual sin and addiction, to soul ties, to where the enemy's replaying in your mind people who you've been with in the past, and you just can't get over it, and you think about it, and you hide it, and you just... The Bible declares that the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 61 has set the prisoner free. And let me tell you what false grace is. False grace is believing that you can still live in compromise and still live in habitual sin and think that you have really received the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and brings you to Jesus and gives you grace that empowers you to live a life like Jesus. How do I know that? Romans chapter 6. For we have been buried with Christ and resurrected with Christ, so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So if this is you, I know if this is you and Jesus is calling you to this altar. You know, Jesus said, if you stand before me before men, I will stand before you before my Father in heaven. So there's no need to shame, to be in shame. There's no need. There's no need to be in shame. Why? Because grace is his favor and his kindness, drawing us unto repentance. Everybody close their eyes. Holy Spirit, now, it is only you who can do this work. Holy Spirit, only you can draw people to Jesus. Only you can make them, only you can make Jesus a reality. Jesus, I just pray the weight of your glory fall now. For those of you who would be bold enough to lift your hands, I see like a dove the Holy Spirit beginning to touch. Beginning to touch. Holy Spirit, touch them like you did me in my college dorm room where I just begin to weep uncontrollably. Begin to baptize them with your fire like you did to me, where I just fell out and I just knew it was a touch from heaven. Yes, Jesus.
I surrender.
Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, be done so it can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Yes, Jesus. 'Cause I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Yes, Jesus.
I surrender.
Ah, yes, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Receive, Holy Spirit, receive. Receive. You confirm your word with signs. Receive, Holy Spirit. Oh, eh, antorra, da, 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 yeah.
I surrender.
Ah, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
I surrender all to you.
Thank you, Lord. And the atmosphere of faith. Miracles take place in the atmosphere of faith. You can be changed in the atmosphere of faith. Miracles take place in the atmosphere of faith. You will receive grace in the atmosphere of faith. We will seek your face in the atmosphere of faith. You will lace us with your grace in the atmosphere of faith. Yes. Miracles take place in the atmosphere of faith. You can be changed. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. You are the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, your search is over. You came what you were looking for. It's the Christ, it's the Messiah. He's here for you now, mending hearts and changing lives, bondage broken, spirits revived, in the mighty name of Jesus. Anointing of God, break the yokes of bondage, break every single fear, and draw us to your Son, that we may see him near. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's by your grace. It's nothing we could do. It's by your grace. Nothing we could do. Not by the law. Not by trying to be a good person. It's by receiving you. It's by receiving. It's about receiving. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just speak a blessing over your people. I thank you that you're lacing us with grace. And Holy Spirit, it is only you that can bring remembrance to your word. So Holy Spirit, we will rely on you and obey what you tell us to do. And obey what you tell us to say. Lord, if we have to cut the friendship off, Lord, if we have to cut the sin away, we know that you're giving us the grace and empowerment to do so. And you're giving us the grace to live and walk as Jesus walked. So I bless your people now. May God's light be upon you, his favor, his kindness, the gift, the blessing be in and on you by the man and the work of Jesus the Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be dismissed.